Please, another question? Yes. Yes.
Okay, when you're saying veil, you mean that her, like, a veil usually covers most of the hair.
Yeah, most of the head.
Most of the head. It leaves out more than a tenth off most cases.
Right.
Now, I mean, that's, I was just going to ask that question right before you made that point about the veil. A lot of, I've seen also colors that take off.
Terrible!
I never knew the, I was just going to ask you that because I really never knew.
Yes.
Okay, when you're saying veil, you mean that her, like, a veil usually covers most of the hair.
Yeah, most of the head.
Most of the head. It leaves out more than a tenth off most cases.
Right.
Now, I mean, that's, I was just going to ask that question right before you made that point about the veil. A lot of, I've seen also colors that take off.
Terrible!
I never knew the, I was just going to ask you that because I really never knew that.
Nine cigars. The new thing starting
every day. But there's also this thing with the headpiece, a big headpiece. Now, it's still, because it still may cover
a lot of
the
big headpiece.
I mean, I'm just asking.
As long as it covers the majority of the head, you can see through.
So then, so I'm just asking, a veil that covers her more of her head than the headpiece will, is the headpiece, I'm not understanding, is the headpiece permissible with that veil?
What did the headpiece cover? It's a crown.
It's a crown. I don't know.
Obviously, she's married.
It's like a hairband, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, but did it take the whole branch and the veil off? Just leave a little garland.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I've seen that very crown.
How am I supposed to wear a crown? Period. Vehicle of
form. Can't,
Dan. Really? Yes.
The reason that she doesn't do the answer is that she doesn't have to cover
here.
Full, it has to be
closed
together.
No, either one suffices.
No, so that suffices that.
If the reason that she's still a basula is the determinant reason, then according to this theory, you might argue that it just take off her veil, like it's being done by, right? Because after all, she's still a basula, the law of Soda doesn't apply to her. The answer is, in my opinion, that you're right, the perspective of Das Moshe, Torah law. But Das Yehudis, time immemorial, has always been that the kala wears the veil straight through the wedding, for whatever reason. And I, for one, even though I told you last week that I think that's what this can't change, I'm not the one to try to advocate such a change. And therefore, I'm fighting very hard against it, that the woman should leave the veil on during the chasana. Number one, according to my first approach, it's absolutely mandatory. And even according to the second approach, when it's possibly changeable, I don't want it to change. All right, so that answers your question.
If she's covering her already, then it
doesn't
matter if
she's
veil or not.
Obviously.
Right?
It wouldn't change, it would need a veil. But, okay, need a veil? Yes?
So why did the Rabbanim
add? Don't blame the Rabbanim, the women added extra. That's you, this. They accepted it upon themselves. Yes.
They're just saying, we know when people leave the wedding, let's say the bride, and she takes off her dress, she changes to go wherever, but does she have to put on a hat then, or could she still leave on the veil?
Well, she's all being patient. I'll answer your question. She can just leave on the veil. But, many callous don't feel like marching through the streets New York with a veil and take everything off. She also shouldn't, according to what I just explained to you now. So she brings with her a little kerchief. She changes it to what we call her civilian clothes. It's out of her uniform. It's on a regular dress. And a regular dress. She puts on a regular kerchief. Yes?
I don't mean to belabor the point, but the veil should cover the majority or 51% or
51% is enough. Yes? That's my theory.
Right. For instance, today, where we don't have, men don't have any more than one wife.
Right.
Why shouldn't men also have
Oh, that's a good question. Men should have to cover their hair. We should know, a very good question. So we should know who's single and who's married by the men. That's a very serious problem. Very serious problem. You know what? If we had the capacity to do so, we would think it's a good idea, like one apple and two apples. But we have enough laws that Torah created for us. We don't look for new laws. So I can't argue with you in the spirit, but I'm not going to argue with you.
Anyway, women are supposed to be more similar.
Yes. By the way, in my opinion, that is the basis for an old custom. I'm fighting all the time with people. I'm always going to be fighting. They're admitting Ashkenaz, where I grew up, was always that way. As far as anybody have different customs. That a married man and a married man only would come to shul with a talis over his head. Never a bachur. When I go up, a bachur would never be allowed to cover his head with a talis. I am a vehement opponent of bachur covering the head, unless it's a sfar, they have different customs. Long as Shinaz. What am I fighting against? What happened was, in certain yeshivas, without mentioning any names, so that is chumrah from certain Rosh yeshivas, you know you have to wear a hat. You don't have a hat, you want to daven for the yom, you got to cover your head with a talis. I am absolutely against it, completely. Even though I know I'm going against a couple of very important rabbis. You want to daven, you want to make a chumrah, then wear a hat. I'm absolutely against single bachur from Ashkenazim putting a talis over their head. I'm going to say this at the beginning, like the yekis, they put it on for a second and they take it down again. That's okay. But go like this. Why? Because in my opinion, it's the same theory again. The reason why only a married man covers his head with a talis is because he's holier. I go back on my own theory. That's exactly the point. If he's a holier person, because he's now married, so then we have to cover him, not all the time. So we express it during davening. That's how lots of my mind. These are all my theories, but I have my pet theories, and it explains many monogamy, which I don't want to change. Yes. It has nothing to do with our discussion. Well, if we have a chance, I didn't look at the piece of paper, I got lost.
It's here.
Oh, good, I'll get it back. We have to discuss at length all the laws and customs of marriage. I'm not sure if it's on the list or not. And then, we've answered this on the page. Women as rabbis. Okay. First thing I saw. All right. Hey, we're having fun in this place. We have to try to discuss laws of marriage, and we'll talk about it. It's premature. Nothing to do with this anyway. Sure, nothing to do with this. Yes?
At the wedding, when the bride has to wear a veil, is that 51% of her head? Or
head.
Head.
That's right. That's how I understand it. Okay. Now. Having said all this, let's go back to our original analysis. Original analysis. It seems to me, believe it or not, that in some cases, uncovered hair might even be more strict than uncovered parts of the body, which at least based on the Das Yehudis, the original custom should have been covered. Let me explain myself. We mentioned before that there is a view which maintains that although Seroah and Shok should be covered, as it said, it was found in the time of the Gemara, if the customs change and it's now uncovered in this particular location, perhaps it's permissible to recite the Kriya Shema, even though the woman right in front of you has it exposed. But in my opinion, even if this is to be true, one might argue that when it comes to the hair, it's not allowed. Let me explain myself. When it comes to other parts of the body, what's the cause and what's the effect? The cause is the hair, and the effect is the sin of error. So if everybody does it, so there's no hearer. We saw that in the Dibrei Chamudas we recorded last week. So there's no din of Erba. That's exactly what the Dibrei Chamudas said. Kafachai. But in the case of the hair, it's the other way around. What comes first? The obligation to cover the hair. What comes next is the Nevarbo. So who cares there's no hero? Who cares that everybody's doing it? Who cares? It's irrelevant. It's never had to do with hero. It ought to do with the obligation to cover causing the Nevarbo. So it should apply even if everyone's going with the hero covered. So that even though the Aruch HaShulchan is right, let's assume, but nowadays the places where all the women go with the hair uncovered, Lithuania, that is no hero, so what? The prohibition applies anyway. But it's an absolute halacha, as the Chazanish said. You don't know if she's single, you don't know if she's married. I have to confess, true confessions, that the Igros Moshe of Moshe Feinstein is exactly against me. Completely, absolutely against what I said. Where I reasoned it, well, I gave it I considered to be a persuasive argument why it should be that when it comes to the hair, you have to cover it no matter what. And there's no dispensation to say Krishna opposite the uncovered hair based on the fact that everyone's going that way. It's okay, it's irrelevant. When it comes to this row on the show, so as you said last week, I also thought it was a pretty good argument that it might be permissible. Ramosha is exactly the reverse. When it comes to the hair, he says, you can rely on the Aruch HaShulchan. When it comes to a woman who is a prutza and she's a covered part of the body, which should be covered, there, Rav Moshe, that's a strict view. One second. Adopts a strict view? I don't understand. According to what I read Rav Moshe last week, I thought he allowed a woman to go that way if it's commonly done or very commonly done. Don't understand. I don't understand everything. I don't understand. But let me give you one other situation which will help explain this, and then I'll get to the question which was read before, which is blow your mind. What does it say over here in Mishnah Berurah in Yud Beis? Ayin b'mogen Avram is very important. Shekosat lo yelchu b'gili arosh rakim saros saying kluos v'lo sasuros. You have to braid your hair. Anyone ever been in Williamsburg or Meir Shorim? You ever seen this, how the single girls go? Only with braided hair. They'll never go with the hair loose. This is based on this moment I wrote. Avol ha-maksa shekel, mamad gibor, mekidu mezeh. This is the way they never accepted this. Well, even with the place where the married woman did cover there, the singles never accepted this one. We'll come back in a second where the mamad got it from. Kosa v'chayoda, nochrios. This means non-Jewish women. She'enon muzharas l'chasol sarah. They're not required, of course, to cover them. They're not even Jewish. Sarah iyun im dinan bazeh kipsulos. He's not sure what their status is. Whether you were allowed, you have a cleaning lady in the house, and she's married, and she doesn't cover her hair, of course. Can you bench when she's sitting up at the table? Or she's standing up somewhere nearby? Jewish. Not Jewish. So the Mishnah Berurah is not sure what the din is. What's going on? What? Oh, hold on a second. One that we said until now, it should be obvious you have to, there's no problem. So Rav Moshe, that's all explained. No. What he means, the Mishnah Berurah, according to the Chayyot, is only referring to a case where the custom is that even by the non-Jews, that married women cover their hair. In the time of the Gemara, how did you know that a woman who was married to the Goyim became divorced? They had no gift. Now she became divorced, but she took off a head covering. It says in the Gemara Sanhedrin. That means that they used to, that's how they would cover the hair while they were married. So then the question becomes, a very legitimate question. Since she had no obligation to cover her hair, but at the same time it was customary to cover the hair, is there a problem for Krishna? Not? That depends upon what we discussed earlier. If you say it has something to do with hair, then maybe you should say it should be not allowed. So it's based on the Chazanish, then what does he say? Doesn't apply because she's not obligated to cover it. But the Goyish women don't cover their hair when they're married. There's no question, there's no problem. Because according to both points, there's no problem. She's not required to cover the hair. There's no hirur, so therefore it's not a problem. That's where Moshe answered this Mishnah Berurah.
What about with Zroah and
Shoah? Zroah and Shoah would apply, sure. Question? Okay, any questions now? Yes?
I heard even the gross
lighting
over here.
The gross
what? I don't know if there's two. I don't
know
if heard. But also, even
for
Yenat,
just
the people. How can
they
ignore liquids?
Okay, we'll come to it. Okay. What
do you have
to about
say?
Another half an hour, almost. 20 minutes, yeah.
Yes? According to Mishnah Berurah, does he believe that, I mean, according to our motion, does he believe that a lot of the reason is because of
Paramar? Could be. I don't know what it could be. Now, where did the Morgan have a lot of things to talk about now? So many things. I can't get out fast. I'm probably going to keep your notes because I have next week is no class. I think we can finish it 2 weeks from now. It's too much to say. It's a very important topic. You have to analyze it very, very carefully. Where did the Mogadavro get this wild idea from that a single girl can have to go with the hair braided? Where did it come from? Where did this come from? Wild! Here's where it came from. The Rambam. Believe it or not, the Rambam, believe it or not, says as follows. This is a quote from the Rambam, it's a quotation. I don't think it appears on the page anyway. I wish it would. But it's really found in Eben or Ezra. It's not found in our time. But the Rambam actually says that a woman is required to cover her hair. This is not very carefully. Achas penuyo v'achas eishes ish. Whether she's penuya, single, or anxious ish, she may not go in the street with her head parua. This statement sent shockwaves through the entire Ashkenazi community. How could the Rambam write such a thing? Single women have to go with their hair covered? That's unheard of! So they tried to reinterpret the Rambam in various ways. The Magen Avraham interpreted it by saying, no, he didn't mean it has to be covered, it has to be braided. So if it's single, she has to be braided, if it's marriage, it has to be covered. Very hard to imagine that's cut in the Rambam. The more classical Svarim said a different interpretation. Now when the Rambam said penuya, he meant the penuya who is not a besula. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that over here in Siv Katan Yud Aleph. Okay, after we left over Basula Sarus, he says, Uadin Basulo Shenivalu, Srichim Lachasel Sarosh. A woman, this is the Rav Mishnah Berurah Yud Aleph, a woman who had been a Basula, it's a contradiction, Basula Shenivalu, means that she's a single woman who had relations with a man, is required to cover her hair. Let's say she's a widow, or let's say, well, there's really, or she's divorced. All those cases, that's what the Rambam meant. When he said Penuya, he meant not the average Sula. No. Either she's a Behula before marriage or she's after a marriage. In those cases, she was required to cover her hair. Also, not the simple reading of the Rambam. And I must say, I mean, how much tremendous Derech Eretz that I have for the Magen Avraham and for the Behula and others who have to give the second Eretz, my simple, plain understanding is that the Rambam should be taken at face value. The Rambam held, and I'm not so smart, I just saw that in the Yemenite communities who followed the Rambam, they covered their hair even before marriage.
Covered or braided?
Covered. Some started at age 12, not even earlier. They covered their hair before marriage. They understood the Rambam, according to their tradition, to be taken literally. You may ask me a question, but it says in the Mishnah, the woman who's a basula is Yotza Behinuma Varosha Parua. And she goes with her hair uncovered. So how do you get a hawa? So the answer is yes.
I have a question.
Sure.
Doesn't this go against your whole concept of
different? Oh, very good. So the answer is that one is yes. One to the Rambam. That the obligation to cover the hair before marriage is purely rabbinic, it's what we call Das Yehudis. Das Yehudis. And Das Yehudis can change. That's the whole thesis from last week. So therefore, in the time of the Rambam and for 700 years afterwards, Yemenite women always covered their hair, even when they were single. When they came to the Holy Land, unfortunately, many Yemenites stopped keeping Shabbos. That's a different story. But even among those who remained the Shomer Shabbos, just about all of them no longer covered their hair. And presumably the reason is that the Dasi women can change. They came to Eretz Yisrael, so there the custom of the single girls did not cover their hair. So they stopped, and they're not in violation. Things can change. Yes?
When talking about a single girl who's not a betula anymore, does that include someone who was raped?
Yeah. Only thing is, the Mishnah Berurah writes over here in such a case, if she's embarrassed, but not, so we can't force her to do the cover or the other. Maybe we can't force her to do anything. But even in the old days, you couldn't force her. Yes? He was stuck with a cash, so he gave it to her. That's what I said, what can I tell you? He was stuck. The word parua sometimes means wild. Parua means wild. There are those, by the way, who attempted to say that even a marriage doesn't have to cover her hair. Almost is not wild. They said they took the mug on a rubber and put it on his head. Since. No problem, right? They said that the word parua means the wild as opposed to braided. Even a married woman can go that way, as long as it's braided. That's the problem with these kind of opinions. They lead you to other conclusions, which you're not so happy with. Yes?
What about
people
wild
from the sheep? What? You have to have the shape of it at all. Who's good? Well, one second. Yes?
Before, the condemnation, had we answered the question about
It should follow that a woman who is not Jewish is no dinner of Sarah ever finished. But the other side of the coin, the baby causes hero. Now here we come to my next point. Yes.
Earlier, Moshe, you just said now is contradicting everything you said, but last session you derived your opinion from
Moshe. I mentioned. No, I don't know. I don't understand. I don't understand. I must be missing something. I don't understand everything. I must be missing a piece. The Rambam never mentioned Seir Isha in Hilchos Kriyishma. Never mentioned a word about it. Rav Yosef Karo in his parish asked, why not? Elsewhere, the Rambam says it's prohibited to stare at an etzba katana. Listakel, what's this takel mean? To stare at an etzba katana, which is just something that's even a small pinky. Viliros Sara. Cannot even look, even at this takel, at her hair. So it seems that he says, Listakel by etzba katana, and Liros by Sara. It seems to me that Rambam is telling us a very clear halacha. And the seir is treated as what we call a makom mechusa. That's something which is usually covered. And therefore, even if he's not mistakel for the purpose of pleasure, it's still prohibited, as we discussed last week. And therefore, there's nothing special about Kriya Shema, because it's prohibited all the time. Now, from the Rambam, therefore, would appear that the reason for that you're not permitted to look at a woman's hair is because of Hiru. That's why he calls it not Hilchos Kriyishma, but he calls it in his entire parak about Hiru. Ooh. That's against everything we said the whole day. You're right, it is. However, it seems to me, listen very carefully, that the Rambam, as we call it Talmudic terminology, Lishitasa. Rambam is consistent with his own opinion. The Rambam is the one who says that even a single woman has to cover her hair. According to the Rambam, the hair is like the body. It has to be covered no matter what. And therefore, it would apply even to a single woman. For that very same reason, according to the Rambam, the law of covering the hair applies to single women, and it applies for reasons of hero, and therefore he mentions it elsewhere in the parak about hero, and leaves it out of the Krishna. That, in fact, is the Rambam's opinion. And in my opinion, according to the Rambam's opinion, Yerachah Shulchan is right. According to the Rambam, as opposed to the Hebrew, that if everyone goes that way, it should be permissible, based on what we said last week. However, since Shulchan Aruch says against the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch said that a single woman does not have to cover her hair at all. So therefore, it seems to me that the logic I told you before is correct. And therefore, I am not a fan, if you will, of the Aruch HaShulchan. I don't like it. According to the Rambam, yes. According to the Rambam, I can understand it. But according to those, it's the majority view of the Shulchan Aruch who's against the Rambam. And there's nobody in this room whose single hair is covered, so that's why we don't follow the Rambam. Right? So if we don't follow the Rambam at that point, so we shouldn't follow the Rambam at this point either. Yes? Exactly. Exactly. That's my whole point. I said before that despite the tremendous respect and authority of those Gedolei Torah, Gedolei Hador of previous generations, my reading is, and I'm shared by others as well, the simple reading of the Rambam, Achas Pnuya V'Achas Eshes Ish, as confirmed by the custom in Yemen for hundreds of years, was that single women are required to cover their hair. And against this backdrop, you understand why the Rambam puts it over there in the laws of Hero and leaves it out in the Moskvishim. Same as everything else. Yes. My answer was that the obligation is only rabbinic, and therefore they said they'll give you a break, or you know the same as before with a veil or without a veil, you know the same business as we discussed earlier. Yes. So the Shulchan Aruch comes out against the Aruch HaShulchan. Because the Shulchan Aruch quotes the opinion of the Chachmei Ashkenaz that we follow, that a single woman is not required to cover her hair. So therefore the obligation to cover the hair on the part of the married woman has nothing to do with Hiru. But the Chazanish said, what? Kevan Shechiva Torah. So therefore it becomes Erva. And once it's an Erva, it's nothing to do with your with Hiru. Nothing to do with that at all. It's just that Torah made it to an Erva. It's an Erva. Finished. Could be another difference. Let's say your own mother, your own daughter, is in the room, and she's married, and then she doesn't cover her hair. So according to the Aruch HaShulchan, there's no problem. There's no hero and mother and daughter. It's ridiculous. But according to what I'm saying now, it should be prohibited. Not as a hero, but for a different reason. If once it's called an Arab, it's an Arab. Finish. That's how I think. Yes?
Why can we even say that covering hair to begin with in the Torah was a dasi hudis at that time?
The Gemara says explicitly that the Mishnah, just about said it explicitly, that covering the hair for a married woman is das Moshe. And if I'm not mistaken, the Gemara of Kesubah, you can look it up, and have iron base, says it's called a Deoraisa. It's according to a simple reading of the Gemara, which is accepted by just about everybody. There's a Torah requirement for a woman who's married to cover her hair at least in the shuk.
From where? Like, where do I
say from the shuk? Yisra Esrosha Yisha. It's one of the Mishnah Berurah.
So
the Kohen will reveal the hair of the woman, implying that before that, the hair was covered.
So why can't it be said that at that time, the symbol of marriage was covering hair, and that's what people did. So taking off the hair covering would be as removing the symbol of marriage. But if today's time, let's say, a wedding band is a symbol of marriage, then the same thing would apply to taking off wedding bands, that this is what the people do now.
Well, we're not going to maybe take a wedding band. Don't make cobras. You want to make a kula. What you're trying to say is you're doing a very good thing. What you're trying to do is justify, at least a little bit, the custom that many, many women had for many years, including many very important rabbis and many important rabbis, that they didn't cover the hair. How can it be? It's crazy. You get the Torah prohibition. What's going on? So first of all, Moshe calms down a little bit. It's not a Torah prohibition. It's only that you're not fulfilling a Torah mitzvah. The question how you look at it. Is it a prohibition of the Torah to go out with your hair uncovered? Or is it a mitzvah to go with your hair covered? It sounds like a bunch of words. It's a difference. The difference is, you have to give up all your money. It's not to go to violate a prohibition if you give up all your money. Not to do a mitzvah, you don't go all your money. It's a much chuv about a woman that needs a job, and she covers her hair, she'll lose the job. The whole story is, he makes it lenient, if she's a widow, I'm going to hold pilpul. It's only a mitzvah, right, Minatara, not a issa min ha-tor. That still begs the question, how can it be that so many women violated the mitzvah min ha-tor? What he's trying to say is as follows. I'm explaining what you're saying. What he's trying to say is that although the Gemara does say to Farish explicitly that covering the hair is das Moshe, perhaps the only thing it means is that it's something which is found in the Torah. That's what's called das Moshe. At the time of Matan Torah, it was certainly customary for married women to cover their hair. No question about it. No question about it. You find that even before the Torah was given. Where? Before the Torah was given, you find at least a remez for it. Not Sara, but close. Rivka. Batikah HaTzaiv. Batiska. She covered her, presumably, it's simple. She covered her hair when that's your husband, he's off. Now she's about to get married. Boom. Even before the chasm. Maybe she's already married before because Eliezer gave her the design. I mean, whatever the reason, that's a remez to it. So it's customary. It's called Das Moshe, but you're making a suggestion which is somewhat radical, namely, but maybe Das Moshe could also change. It's not, Lo Sochal Nevela, Lo Sochal Chazir, that can never change. It doesn't say Lo Telchi Bebrua Rosh. It doesn't say that. It's an implication. That at the time when the Torah was given, the married woman was covered with the hair covered. And to uncover it implies that it was covered beforehand. Perhaps the Torah is merely referring to a common custom of its time. We find elsewhere something a little bit similar. Of course it's dangerous. That we find something similar. That some poskim maintain that the obligation for a man to support his wife. We'll have a chance to talk about that. I don't know if it's in there anywhere. The obligation of a man to support his wife is rabbinic. But even though we find in Chumash and Rashi, based on the Chazal's provision of the Tzukim, that a man did support his wife, so they say, well, it was customary. It was customary for a man to support his wife. So then when it comes to a Ksuba, Hesed Yishkol Kamara Psula, so some say, yeah, it was customary to write a Ksuba. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Zichron of the Bracha, as quoted in the Sefer Otzer HaPosker, says, I don't like this. You know why I don't like it? It's dangerous. It could lead to unwanted conclusions. Namely, if that's the case, so the obligation to cover the hair is also could change. So in my opinion, although the overwhelming body of Rishonim rejects this and says that it's an absolute Torah law, the law, whether it be an Isser or whether it be a Mitzvah or a Moshe Pilpul's about, is a law by Torah law that a woman has to cover when she's married, and I explained before what I thought the reason was. However, it seems to me that those individuals who somehow feel that the women can change the custom are of this opinion, whether they know it or don't know it, that das Moshe means it's something which women accept at the time of Matan Torah, and therefore maybe it's something to change as well, and they think it's a possible proof to them from the Rambam, because the Rambam said that a woman is not permitted to go with the hair uncovered. Achas tzuya v'achas eshes ish, whether single or married. We already demonstrated that single, by perforce, is not a Torah law. That's for sure. I mean, that's what we assume. Right? Everyone seems to assume that. If for a single woman to cover hair, certainly not a Torah law. Yet the Rambam puts the two in the same breath. Achas tzuya v'achas eshes ish. They're literally in the same breath. If you don't interpret it to be braided, you don't interpret it to be a widow or something like that, you take the simple interpretation. What emerges from the Rambam seems to be that the obligation to cover the hair is not explicit in the Torah. But it says Das Moshe. The Das Moshe might mean it's a custom which is recorded in the Torah, like supporting a wife, like giving a ksuma. That is the justification, in my opinion, for those women who don't cover the hair. But I'm saying it as what we call a limud zchus, that we shouldn't think that the women who did so are such terrible, terrible people. We like to assume that everyone is a good person. However, according to the overwhelming majority of halachic opinions, certainly according to the Shulchan Aruch, a woman who is married is required to cover her hair, and there's no dispensation, even in a community where, unfortunately, the overwhelming majority of the women don't cover their hair. Let me add one more postscript. Things have changed for the better dramatically the last generation. When I was growing up in Queens, let's say 35 years ago, the shul of hundreds of people, one or two cover their hair. Today, it's much better. Much better. There's many. Look, how many do you know that the mothers don't cover their hair and the daughters do? You can count to the hundreds of them, walking around all over the place. So things are getting better in that respect. So therefore, you can argue that nowadays it's an absolute requirement for sure. Even though maybe your mother, your grandmother, when she didn't cover, maybe she was some justification for her. Maybe. We're trying to find something. But today, things became more stringent, because now, thank God, things are getting better. Yes, ma'am.
Classically,
the man
ever
convinced
himself, he should just not look.
Just look the other way. That's not a problem. Yes?
A lot of times, you seem to be saying that there are, like, basically, everything changed, and it's very subjective. And now we're saying just the opposite, that once ever even...
No. That's exactly my whole point of today. Ever can change when the cause is here. Hearer causes terrible, causes the obligation to cover it. So then it gets changed, and the first one can change, it becomes commonplace. But the way I understood the Torah's requirement to cover the hair for a married woman is independent of hearer. So therefore, we have a change. That's what we spoke about last week. Maybe it can change. But in my opinion, when it comes to the hair, it's worse. That's how I explain it at great length. However, I'm trying to give at least some beginning of a justification for those women who didn't cover the hair during all those years. Maybe they were of the opinion that even that could change. Even though the Torah calls it the Gemara calls it Das Moshe, all it means is it's a custom which was prevalent at the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, and it had to remain that way forever. Maybe. I'm not saying it the halacha lemaisa at all. I'm just saying it as trying to justify. How can you say that to your grandmother, your mother, whoever, your aunt, whatever, to do something that's terribly, terribly wrong? So it is wrong, because it's against the Shulchan Aruch. But still, maybe you can find some kind of a justification post facto. Not that you do it now, that's for sure. But this is to justify what happened in the generation of Gimel. I'd like to cover all that next 2 weeks from now, Mr. Shulchan. I'd like to. look over here in Sif Beis, page 216. I got here the vowelized edition. Great. Seyar shel isha, the hair of a woman, shedark on the chasosa, that it can go away to cover it, says the Shulchan Aruch, Osir likros kenegdo, prohibited to read Shema HaFafin, says the Ramah, Afilu Ishto, even his own wife. Avol but. look over here in Siv Beis, page 216. I got here the vowelized edition. Great. Seor shel isha, the hair of a woman. Shedarko lechasoso, that it's a normal way to cover it. Says the Shulchan Aruch. Aser likros kenegdo. Prohibited to read Shema from this, says the Ramah. Afilu ishto, even his own wife. Avol but sulo shedarko lelech ruos harosh. Mutter. Single girls that they go with their hair uncovered. So this is permissible. That's the Shulchan Aruch. Good. So far, so good. The Shulchan Aruch is telling us something very new. It's not obvious, which we shall see soon. Shulchan Aruch said that married women cover their hair, and single women don't. And that may seem to you to be obvious, 100%, and the reality is true, but you should be aware of the fact that there's controversy all over the place. It's a real humdinger topic. We'll come back to analyze the details as we go along. But I have a very fundamental and basic question which I want to talk to you about. It is as follows. Last week, we spoke about the problem of certain women that Mr. Brewer categorized in the page before as putzos, immodest, who uncover portions of their body which really should be covered. And of course that's the case of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch and Tzif Aleph. You're not permitted to read Shema opposite that exposed portion. And then the Mishnah Berurah said that even if the entire community reveals parts of the body which should not be revealed, he called it the Zeroah and the Shoth. We went through a lengthy discussion of this last week. Nevertheless, it's objectively considered an erva, and it's prohibited to read Shema opposite, when you're in view, for a man, it's opposite to the view of these parts of a woman's body. I pointed out to you last week that it's not so simple, that there are some Gedolim who disagree. I mentioned to you then the Dibre Talmudos in the Battle of the Rush, who says it's not true, because if a person's used to it, there's no, it won't distract him, or it won't arouse him. It's a dispute, okay. How does this dispute impact upon this din of Seir of Isha Erev? This is a very major question. You see, there are many cases in which the woman will be properly dressed. She'll be wearing, even according to the Mishnah Berurah's definition, she'll be wearing a sleeve till the elbow and a skirt to the knee, etc. But, as we know too well, there are many married women who, even though they dress in accordance with the Mishnah Berurah standards of covering till the knee and till the elbow, nevertheless they don't cover the hair. This is not a secret. And the question then becomes, well, what's the halachic status? Can a person recite Shema, or more importantly, can a person say Brichas on Muslim? A man is at a wedding, at a bar mitzvah, he's sitting and says, mixed. Oh, that's where the problem starts, you see. Mixeding. We'll discuss that too one day, mixeding. We'll get to almost every, you name it. If you have a topic that you want to suggest in the suggestion box, I desire a piece of paper, it's a good idea. So we're getting soon to the halfway point of this class, and I have my things I want to talk about, but you may have your things that you want me to talk about, which I may not otherwise. So I'll give you a piece of paper for the suggestion box. Any topic which relates to women in halacha as you understand it, which you want to be discussed during the range of this term, just write it down. You can write it anonymously. No one has to know what you wrote, and I'll try to accommodate you if I can. But let's go back. So a person that are at a bar mitzvah, at a wedding, at a bris, whatever, is mixed seating, and right opposite him is a woman who's married and her hair is not covered. So what's the scoop? Can he bench or not? So, the Mishnah Berurah has a very strong stand on this matter. Says the Mishnah Berurah, this is the first wide line on page 216. Lewis starts by quoting excerpts from the top, Shulchan Aruch, and then he explains. So Yud, the Shadakal the Chasoso, says, Vafilu im ein Dakal the Chasoso, Rak Bashuk, Lo Babayis u Bechotzer. Even if the custom is, whatever reason, is covered only in the market, but we'll get to this later, why? And not in the house and in the yard. Mikomakom, nevertheless, Bichlal Erevi, Luchuli Alma, Afilu Babayis. Considered to be an Erevi even in the home. Also, Shal Likros Negda in this Galat Tafan. It is prohibited to read the Shema or to say it was a bench if it's revealed. Vidal. Tafilim Derek Isha Zov Achavar Osea Mosa Moko. Even if this woman and her friend in that place, Leila Figili or Rosh Vashuk Kederach Afrutus. Here we go again. If she, it's her custom to go in the street with her other kind of cover like the Gimbalas would do, also prohibited. Ukimo, and just as. Lidin Gilu Shoka, which is revealing of her whatever thigh, what he calls. The also called Gavni, it's prohibited in any case, the kind of knowledge we said earlier, the Sif Cotton Base, as we discussed last week, that's his opinion. It's absolutely required for the woman who's married to cover her ear, brackets. V'yesh B'zeh Yisut Torah. It's a Torah prohibition that she has to cover her ear. It can mean the Sif, it says, Upara Rosh Aisha. In the context of what? Who learned this possible?
Where
the Sota. The Kohen will uncover her here. Michlal, where we can apply. Shah Yamakusa. It was covered. The Gami gets into polemics. Kol Venos Yisro Amar Zikos Vidas Moshe. This Haros Mizemi Mosan Oseinu Meolam Arata. All Jewish women who keep the Torah kept this law forever. Therefore, Bichlal Erevahi, it's part of Erevahi, also the Kuskenegdon. And then why does the Shulchan Aruch say, Seyar Shal Ishev Shedarko Lechasol? So, says the Mishnah Berurah, V'lo Bo Lema'et, Rak Besulos, Shemutoros Lelech Barosh Parua. Okay. You go and say, Oh, I don't say, Mechutz Tzim Tzim Ton. The hair sticks out a little bit. The Ramah put, the Ramah on top said, Guadin Shasarol Shal Nashim Sharigilin Lates Bichutz and Tzim Ton. Stick a little bit out of the kerchief, a little bit sticks out. That's okay. Shimon Hug, but also Shal Bazamakol, he's the Hesh, let's say, I feel the Mad Man Amad. Chutz is Kishurev, the custom is that nothing should stick out. The Mele Bechal Erbi, Yosu the Kuros Negdan. It would be an Erbi, Liam Lav, if not, Mutar. If you're used to it, it's not considered to be in the category of a problem. This is what it says. Okay, we said a mouthful. I like this. Usually I don't Xerox it, but this time I want you to think I'm talking in the middle of nowhere. I want you to see something printed. I guess last week it also shows up for the other class. But I think last week we were able to get it and convey what we had to say without papers. Okay, so now. You may be familiar with the fact. Yes?
Can I ask you a quick question? We're equating reading Kriyat Shema with Berakhat HaMazon.
Yeah,
any other,
that's the shortest thing.
Any other type of, that includes learning and then includes
Learning by mouth. Learning by thinking is different.
Okay. What about other?
Same thing.
Also, I just wanted to ask, is there an inherent difference between single, like, how would you explain to somebody who's getting married what is inherent about a woman's hair who's married that is...
You be patient. You have a lot to say tonight. So just be patient. Now you may be aware of the fact. It's a very world-famous psak by a world-famous posek known as the Aruch HaShulchan. Have you heard Aruch HaShulchan?
Yeah.
Heard Aruch HaShulchan. He was a contemporary of the Mishnah Berurah, a little bit older. The Mishnah Berurah lived much longer than he did because he lived till 95. It's not fair. But they were almost contemporaries. And the Aruch HaShulchan was written a little before the Mishnah Berurah. And the Aruch HaShulchan says against the Mishnah Berurah. Aruch HaShulchan says in a very famous passage, which you don't have in front of you, take it from faith, that nowadays that quote, the fourth word, Ba'avonoseinu harabim, due to our many sins, the unfortunate custom is, as was in Lithuania, that many women, most women, did not cover their hair after their marriage. So then the Rosh Hashulchan says, although it's terrible, it's sinful, it's a terrible situation, but nevertheless, once the situation exists, it's permissible to recite the Shema, Brochas, etc. when a woman who's not, hasn't covered her hair, is right in front of you. Because there's no hero, there's no evil thoughts, there's no arousal, nothing, you're already used to it. Everyone, all the married women in that community, same for the Rebbe, somebody even included the Rebbe, go with their hair uncovered. So a big deal, he's used to it, there's nothing. That's the famous ruling of the Aruch Hashul, world famous. So at first glance, it's an old story, it's an Alta Maisa. The same as last week's discussion. Last week we had a dispute concerning a case where women don't cover the Zeroah and Shulchan. I need to find that. And that's a custom which is prevailing throughout that particular location. So the Mishnah Berurah said, it's called Erva anyway. And the Sefer called Teferet Shmuel, that agrees with him, as we mentioned last week. And the Divrei Chamudos seemed to disagree and say it's okay. The Kaf HaChaim seems to interpret that way as well. And Rav Moshe, at least the way I understood it, seemed to say that it's also okay. A dispute, to the same dispute which we had before last week when it came to the draw of the show, should pertain with respect to say, it should be exactly the same thing. However, it seems to me that the two are completely different. They're two completely separate charities. Let me begin by quoting you a passage from another world famous posek known as the Chazon Ish, the great poskim of a generation or two ago. Chazon Ish is an interesting question. You know, a man wants to say Krishna, or wants to bench, or whatever he wants to do. And there's a woman who's sitting right in front of him whose hair is not covered, and he has no idea whether she's single or married. He just doesn't know. If he doesn't know, what's the scoop? He doesn't know. So the Chazanish, I mean, he thinks logically it should follow. If he doesn't know, it should be okay. Because the only time if he knows she's married, so he'll think certain thoughts that maybe are improper. If he doesn't know, so as far as he knows, as far as he's concerned, maybe she's really single. So it should be okay. But then he says, "Poskim lo kosvu kein." The authorities don't say this way. Why not? Well, it must be. It is a direct quotation that the woman, the married woman, said, "Quote, keva since shechayeves lechasos." She is required to cover it. Asa uha ke erva. They gave her the status of erva. So what do those things mean? So for everyone, she has to cover it. Even the Aruch Hashulchan said she has to cover it. He just said that all women don't cover it, so then there's no prohibition from saying Shema when it's exposed. But everyone says she has to cover it. So the father, she has a question though, how do they know she's single or married? So what's the problem? So he answers with five words. Kevan, Shechayevas, Lechasosa, Asa'uva, Ke'erev. What do those five words mean? He never answered the question. The question was, if you don't know she's single or married, so there's not going to be any hero, any evil thought, any arousal. So then what's the big deal? So what did he answer? So it seems to me that the fundamental distinction between Seri Sha'erva on the one hand and all the other stuff on the other. Shok and Zroah, Tefach and all the other things. Seri is in a category completely unto itself. different than anything else. And the basic reason for this is that the cause and effect are the reverse of one another. In the case of Zroa and Shok and all these things, Tepa, it's an Erva because, as I mentioned last week, it's something which could cause hirur on the part of the man. And for this reason alone, this school has the status of Erva. Of course, it's a woman, not permitted to walk around that way, in a way which is going to cause the hirur. So therefore, it's an obligation to cover it. So what's the cause and what's the effect? The cause is that it leads to hirur. The effect is that the woman is obligated to cover it. When it comes to a married woman here, it's exactly the reverse. The cause is an obligation to cover it. The effect is that the status of her. That's how I interpret those five words of Chazanish. Kevan, Shechayevas Lechasosa, that's the cause. Asa Uvakev. It has nothing to do with Hebrew. Nothing to do with what the person is thinking about. Since an obligation to cover it, they made it and they gave it a status of Erev. Now, question. What's the cause of the cause? If it came to a seir and a shok, shok and tepach and zroa, you know what the cause of the cause is. It's human biology. The cause of the cause of the hero, that's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created men. But here, what's the cause of the cause? What's the cause of the cause? Why did the Torah say that a married woman has to cover her hair? So the answer, of course, is we don't know. We don't know the cause for all the Torah. You know the cause of Torah Duma? You know the cause of Shatnez? You know the cause of... We don't know. We can speculate. Torah Duma, we hardly, we don't even try. But the other mitzvahs, Shabbos, Kashrus, we try. It's a couple of reasons. Whenever, it's a cautionary note of great importance. Whenever we try to come up with reasons for mitzvahs, this cautionary note we already mentioned in our opening shiur, if you remember. Number one, it doesn't always fit exactly. Number two, you may be wrong. Number three, even if the reason doesn't apply, the law applies anyway. Well, that sheen and time of the crow. A lot of caveats. But after saying all these caveats, still, can we suggest a reason? You asked before, how do you explain to someone? Why is it that the Torah demands that a woman was married to cover her hair? Very good question. I will answer the question by way of telling you a story. The story, I don't remember in my mind, but I thought of the reason before the story, I don't remember anymore. So long. But the story goes back quite a few years. There was a very fine family, a famous fine family, that was very concerned about the fact that there were singles who were getting older and older and older and remaining singles, and they wanted to do something about it. They decided they were going to make kind of a mixer. Ages, I don't know, 30 to 40 or something like that, whatever, you know, it had to be a certain age to qualify. I don't remember the exact age, that's not the point. But of course they understood that you could put 30, 40 men and 30, 40 women over between 30 and 40. You can't just put a man and run away. That's just not going to work. You need somebody, what they call chaperone. Is that the right word to use? But they, make introductions, conversation. This is, all beautiful, it's a mitzvah, a tremendous mitzvah. Great. So, they did it. So lo and behold, what happened was that, talk. But you know, as you probably, I hope, are aware, that a person talks one way to a single woman, you know, a potential, theoretically potential marriage prospect, and a completely different way to a married woman. Certain kind of things would be completely inappropriate when said to a woman who's married, which is perfectly appropriate when it's said to a woman who's not married and who came to a mixer, right? I mean, it's obvious. Well, what happened was that these men who were there, these young single men, were talking to all kinds. They didn't know who was who. They started talking to a woman who was married in sort of a kind of a forward or insinuating tone, which, like, if she thought, she was slapped across the face, frankly, but she realized that he just didn't know. He didn't realize what's going on. So they made a takon. For the next mixer, they made a takon. Whoever walks in, at the gate, at the door, have to put something on the lapel. What on the lapel? If you're single, you put one apple. If you're married, you put two apples. This way, these kind of very uncomfortable situations would not recur. End of the story. Okay. So now it seems to me that the Torah was one step ahead of the apples. This is my theory. The Torah wanted to be, it should be clear at a glance who's single and who's married. It should be obvious that having to have apples and wedding bands and all kinds of other things which the Torah doesn't require, which are not so apparent sometimes. It should be obvious who was single and who was married. And perhaps the way in which the Torah decided in Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, decided to have this very noticeable, is that a woman who's married covers her hair. Why did Hashem Yisroel pick this? I can't say. I could suggest that in the Torah we find that something which is holy has to be covered. The more holy, the more covered. It could be that we believe that a married woman, I'm sorry, I don't intend to insult anybody, that a married woman is somehow holier by virtue of a marriage. We do call it Kiddushah, don't we? He should look a Kudeshes, right? I mean, we do use that word. So she's somehow holier, and therefore an appropriate way in which to make it clear that she's married and not single is that her hair should be covered. That's again my speculation on my part. Now, yes? Whoa, I have what to say about that. Now, it seems to me, therefore, that this is the cause of the effect. The cause is Hashem, again, but that, this is purely, the first part is speculative. That the Rabbanu Shalom wants that it should be obvious who's single and who's married. So therefore he imposed upon the married woman the obligation of covering her hair. And this in turn leads to the effect that what we call in three words, Se'ar V'Yisha Erba. As the Chazon Ish said it. Se'ar V'Yisha Erba is not because of Hiru, because it leads to arousal and bad thoughts on the part of the man. Had that been the case, then single women should also have to cover their hair. Same as single have to cover any other part, Shov, Se'ar, Tevach, whatever we discussed last week. It's different, it's unique for this very reason. The cause and the effect are reversed. Pass through the whole class. Anybody else want to? You have more?
Sure.
It's 3/4 after. Two songs. But, Se'ar V'Yisha Erba in all likelihood is a rabbinical law. And it seems to me that there are three differences between the Torah's obligation to cover the hair and the rabbinical din of Se'ar V'Yisha Erba. And the three differences, I would say, can be summarized by the following three one-word questions. Who, where, and how much? Not two words, I'm sorry. Who, where, and how much? Let's analyze them one by one. Who? Who asked, what kind of question is that? Who? A married woman? What kind of ridiculous question is that? It's not so ridiculous. Who? seems to me that since we derive the halacha from Solda, Solda by definition has to be married, obviously. It's impossible to be adulterous if you're not married. So therefore it's limited to a married woman. Let's say a woman is divorced or widowed. So the Torah's law, the cover of the hand, does not apply. That's clear. However, by rabbinic law, there exists such a requirement. Applies to a widow, applies to a divorced woman. Presumably by rabbinic law only. There are certain cases in which the Rabbanim has certain express certain leniencies. She's defined a shidduch, and the living, and Rabbanim, the whole chub about these kinds of situations. But according to the classical authorities, it's prohibited rabbinically. Why? I think it's a good reason. Here the woman for 15 years, the hair was covered, it was a no-no, no one was allowed to see it, also now it was a coming out party. I mean, it's true, never, she lost her husband, she's after divorce, things change. So by Torah law, no problem. By rabbinic law, I said, look, once it was covered, let it remain covered. That's how I understand the rabbinic law. That's as far as who. He used that expression advisedly, because the Gemara in the Sefer Ksubos says that for a woman to go out to the marketplace with her head uncovered is a violation of Das Moshe, literally the law of Moses. But if she's not in the marketplace, she's in a yard, then by Torah law, she need not cover her hair. By rabbinic law, however, she's required to cover her hair in the yard, and the reason given is because you never know, a man may walk in. This is sort of a semi-private area. And for that same reason, it seems to me quite obvious, although there's some who don't agree with me, that a woman who's married is required to cover her even in her own house if some strange man walks in. That means not her husband, and not her son, and not her father, and not her brother. Some strange man could be a brother-in-law. He's also strange. I don't mean strange. He could be a father-in-law, could be a son-in-law. I mean, someone other than the actual blood relatives. And of course, other than her own husband. Father's fine. No problem. Father is a blood relative, if I ever heard of one. So this is by rabbinic law. By rabbinic law, she has to cover her hair as long as someone else is there in the house. So certainly if she's in a semi-private yard, someone can walk in at any moment.
Why?
By Torah law, it's not required. You know why it's not required by Torah law? Because everyone knows she's married. You come into her turf in her private house, everyone knows in her house that she is married. What? I'm sorry? Oh, that's a new cover. I'm not making progress. I'm not opposed to progress. I'm saying what I think
the dialogue is. What's the reason for this?
For what?
For this Jerobaran.
Seah v'isha erev, as I said to you before. Once the Torah designates an obligation to cover the hair, the rabbis extended the obligation that it should be covered anywhere in the presence of a man, even if it's in a private domain. And finally, three, how much? Yes?
What about when she was about the family or
something? So what? You hear chumras, I know you're going to hear chumras against me. I'm telling you that. I'm telling you in advance. But I'll tell you what I think we finished. Finished? Are you finished now?
Oh, yeah.
Shabbos? The new religion of Shabbos.
No, I'm saying like you have to make kiddush, you know, have your hair covered.
You have to, of course.
But then you can uncover it.
Then you can uncover it, but then as soon as you want to make a bracha or a bench or whatever, you have to cover it again. On the pace. Yeah.
What about Kriyat Shema Lamita? Is that the same Kriyat Shema that we're talking about now, or is it fall into the same category?
Yeah, sure, same category.
Like a woman has to have her hair covered as her husband saying Kriyat Shema Lamita.
Absolutely not. Then turn around and look the other way.
Okay.
Okay. Now, how much? So by Torah law, it's enough to cover the majority of the head. And I kind of according to my theory, because again, pure theory, but it fits in. The majority of the head is recognizably, you know, seen from wherever. If you cover the majority of the head, if you see approach from the side, the front, the back, if the majority of the head is covered, so you're going to see a covering. By rabbinical law, they said, Se'av Yisha Erva, you have to cover the totality with a possible exception of a tefa, which would stick out, which you mentioned that last week. The totality of the hair, not just the head. You wouldn't have the hair go down to their shoulders. You can't, well, look, I covered my head completely. Completely! And then have the hair sticking out of 10 feet. Exaggeration. 10 inches. Down and over the shoulder. That's not allowed. But rabbinically. But Torah law would be allowed. Again, so there are three differences. Who, where, and how much. And in my opinion, all three point in the same direction. And the Torah says that the reason to cover the hair, again, it's my theory, is to distinguish at a glance between a woman who's married and a woman who's single. But the rabbis came along and said, well, once this exists, as the Chazanish said, so then they're already came and shechivayevus lechasos and sahuah k'erba. They made it an erba that includes even a woman who's no longer married and even a woman who's in the privacy of a home and then the man there and even what something which is extending down beyond her head down her shoulder is also not allowed. Look at the three differences. I'll take any question you want to throw at me. I don't want to. Yes.
It's an erba because it can't make brachos because of this, but it's the erba.
Who? The husband?
Well, I know the husband
knows,
but like, it's talking about the fact that
you are in your home.
You are in your home? Let's say,
and a man comes in. The next door neighbor walks in. So you have to cover your hair. Right? Say, I'll be sure. This is by rabbinical law. Yes? By Torah law that a concept exists, sure. But by rabbinic law, you have to cover the hair. Yes?
By rabbinic law, you said the totality except for a tefach, is that like...
That's what Rav Moshe writes.
Over or
tefach? Like, what is... Rav Moshe writes tefach by tefach. Well, everyone will please do an experiment and put your fists on your forehead. According to Rav Moshe, you will find, I don't know if it's true or not, that about two fists will cover the width of the forehead. Is that correct? True? Approximately?
Yes.
Right? Moshe must have measured, I guess, with the revision. I don't know. How we did it exactly. And for this reason, Rav Moshe says, since the average forehead is about 2 tefillin and wide, so you're allowed to have the hair, the kerchief, or whatever it is, the hat, or the whatever, the snood. And that is Rav Moshe, I thought they had snood here. Whatever they have can go up on the hair a half a tefillin. About two figures up. And the logic behind it is very simple. It's mathematics. 2 times 1/2 equals 1. Which means that 2 across and a half up is the same as what we call a tefach by a tefach. That's what Rabbi Moshe says. So you can have 2 figures up is okay, and after that should be covered. Yes? That's correct.
But let's say she lives in a community where everyone does, so we can't rely on
the Aruch HaShulchan itself? No, the Aruch HaShulchan said it's allowed. the Mishnah Berurah is that it's not allowed.
So for women to do that, even though
you want to know my opinion? You want to know Hashulva? You want my real opinion? Oh, wait, we're coming. Yes. An engaged girl, an engagement today has no halachic standing whatsoever. What? Oh, yes, another good question. But if she put sota, it would not apply at that particular time. There are two reasons why it's permissible, and to my mind, that's the way it should be done. That a woman, if she's at a wedding, should go with a veil. No one's in the way. What kind of chumrus? How are you the chumrus? When I got married, that's what we did. What's going on over here? I do have to protest vigorously and vehemently, however, against a custom I saw once or twice, that the woman who got married wore a veil, and then when she came down to the meal, he took off his black hat, she took off her veil. She went, with nothing. Derivation is from Sota.